This podcast is offered by Jikoji Zen Center on the web at jikoji.org. Our programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
Good morning, everybody. Sweet Sangha. Every day I've given a talk, I've been printing, which is something I've really never done before. I write it out, I print it, so Ocean Sensei is not dependent upon some other version, because I have seen the translator on his screen and it's pretty rough. This morning, the first thing I wanted to say is the first version that I printed, I was all ready to walk out the door and I looked at it and went, wait a minute. It said, it's Thursday. It's not. It's actually Friday. And that gives you a sense of the timelessness of Sesshin. I've lost track of the days. I just go by the schedule. I do what I'm told. I try to show up when I'm needed. I try to sleep when it's time to sleep. So good morning. It's Friday. And it's kind of the home stretch. You could say that this entire endeavor, almost a week you've been sitting, is the home stretch. I hope you're able to let go more and more about your ideas, especially about who you are and what you have to be in order to be acceptable. Okay. It is a process. I think that's why Sesshin is so long. It takes time to release, as the mudra is. Every time we enter the zendo, we have a form where we bow to the Buddha on the altar. We face this seat, and we bow to the seat. And then we bow to this sangha. This is a form of our practice. Another way to express this form, as we enter this space, we take refuge to the Buddha inside. We take refuge in the Dharma reality as it is right now, in this moment, every moment, in our actual, intimate, personal, lived experience. And we take refuge in the seamlessness of it all, in the interconnected fabric of which we're just little emergences. Yet another way to express this is to express this form in the Buddha's last advice to Ananda and to their Sangha and to us this week as we celebrate his parinirvana in Mehane. Therefore, Ananda, be islands unto yourselves, refuges unto yourselves, seeking no external refuge. With the Dhamma as your island, the Dhamma as your refuge, seeking no other refuge. By the way, in Sanskrit, might be Pali, Dipa, D-I-P-A, translated here as island is also translated as light. So you'll often hear this famous last instruction of the Buddha as be a light unto yourself. I think that's very accessible, be a light unto yourself. I'm much more interested in the difficulties of being an island unto yourself. And yet another translation is from our beloved Jiro, who has offered this sesshin, this scroll, in which he's managed to express, I think, the entire Buddhist canon in 8 words. I've been looking at this scroll all week. It's bored its way into me. Yourself, island refuge. Dharma, island refuge. No other. Yourself as an island? This may or may not sound pleasing to you. I think that spiritually, most of us are wanting not to be an island. We don't want to be alone in the ocean. We don't want to be alone. And I think many people come to Zen to get away from feeling alone. I would say that was true for me. Maybe it's true for you too. When I got serious and started sitting 5 years before I found a Sangha, I would say, spiritually speaking, I did not feel at home in my own life. It felt like it was a game of musical chairs. And when the music stopped occasionally, I felt that I might not get a seat. And if I got a seat, I felt that someone else might not get a seat. I guess you could call this suffering. We tend to think of an island as some kind of floating mass in the ocean. They look like that, right? But if you think about it, it's actually pretty funny. The only kind of floating island is a dessert. Maybe you've seen that, meringue, floating. Islands do not float. Real islands is a mass of land in the ocean where it's attached way down deep. And if you think about it as a floating thing, you understand immediately that if it floated, then, you know, the waves would move it all over the map. And even, you know, you're swimming by it could make some waves to make it move. I think that's pretty funny. But like all land, an island is simply the top of a mountain, top of a cliff that is arising above the sea level. If you were shipwrecked, some of us have sometimes felt shipwrecked, hanging onto nothing but scraps of wood, floating around the flotsam and jetsam, the sight of an island would look like a refuge. You'd say, land at last, what a relief. Solid ground, a place of safety in a sea of danger. I think this is the dharma of an island, the nature of an island. And I think the Buddha is saying, being an island unto yourself means that you make yourself into this place, into this sanctuary, in a world that is, importantly, without any dependable comfort. To truly become an island unto yourself, you have to allow that the world will not provide you comfort, not sustaining comfort. When the Buddha says, yourself, island refuge, Dharma, island refuge, no other, he's telling Ananda, stand on your own 2 feet. This was never about me. Never about us in our relationship. Stand on your own 2 feet. He's insisting that Ananda find out for himself. Is there any reliable comfort in the world? Is there for you any genuine, reliable comfort that will not seemingly fail, disintegrate, fall apart? The reason that nothing in which we tend to want to take refuge is ultimately a refuge is because nothing in which we find security outside is secure. It's all flotsam and jetsam. It's gonna get moved away by the ocean or fall apart or rot. This little piece of wood, which I'm clinging with my life, my whole identity is bound up in this piece of wood, helping me survive. It might keep me afloat for a little bit. It did keep me afloat for a long time. But everyone knows that these are temporary fixes. Everybody knows, Leonard Cohen said. It's all reliable, unreliable. It will not sustain us long term. Everything falls apart. You can accept that it's helpful. But if there's no security in the world, then where are you supposed to look? And the Buddha's advice? Yourself, island refuge. Dharma, island refuge. No other. And there is, of course, a relevant Zen story. This is Katakara story. She was one of the female disciples of the Buddha, but before she was a disciple of the Buddha, she was a young mother who, in the space of about 1 week, immediately following the birth of her child, not her first child, I think, second or third child, immediately following the birth of her third child, let's say, she witnessed the death of every single person in her family, her children, her husband, her parents. With nothing left of the world, of her comfort, the world that she hung on to, she was wandering the hinterlands, crazed with grief. And some nice villagers took her to the Buddha, who happened to be nearby. And when he said, yourself, island refuge, Dharma, island refuge, no other, refuge in yourself. She experienced this for herself. She had already lost all of her comforts. They were destroyed. I assume that the Buddha understood that an island does not float. And then if we look really down deep in this island, we will find ourselves in common. We will find land in common. We will find shared territory. Deep down, under the turbulence of the weather, which you've actually been experiencing, and life, deep down, we find our refuge and we find each other connected down below. The Buddha tells us, yourself, island refuge. Because we are both the part that's emerging out of the water and the stuff connected deeply down below. We make this refuge in ourselves, an island of full trust in this experience of this little protrusion out of the big vast ocean. During Sesshin, maybe you feel the water at your edges, wearing down some of the defenses, pushing on your resistance, wearing away your ideas of who you are, moving around your attachments and your insistencies and your delusions. Finding a way to be at ease when you're not at ease. When we sit with the devotion and dedication that the schedule demands, we find our islands are completely connected, not just to each other in this really very dear session, Sangha, also to the whole thing. And that is right here. And it's very sweet to know this, to experience this. We are both the emergence and the edges and the rocks of this ground of experience that is shared. We are the endless connection deep down, unperturbed by waves and the weather. This is the essence of trust about which Ocean Sensei and I have been speaking this week. So now, after many long days of the rigor of Sesshin, are you ready be the one, Shakyamuni Buddha, Maitreya, future Buddha, answers to. Are you ready? Be your own teacher. Are you ready to let go of being anyone you think you should be? Releasing the ideas who you think you are. Letting the little soap bubble that Ocean Sensei saw washing dishes, letting your little soap bubble that makes you feel separate, letting that little soap bubble pop and merge into the whole thing. Your self-island refuge. So what is a refuge? A refuge is defined as a shelter, a protection from danger or distress, or a place that provides protection, or something to which one has recourse in difficulty. Refuge comes from the Latin refugium, refugio, a road where we live, refugio, to return. Re means to return, fuge means a place of shelter. To make a refuge means to return to this deeper self, the one which recognizes truth. I know truth is a tricky word for a lot of people, but the one who knows the difference between your suffering and your joy, which resonates with compassion when you see others suffering, rings like a bell. About this last advice of refuge, this is what Kōbun Chino Hotagawa Roshi said. Some people devote their life to a teacher and find that without any struggle, when they do so, the teaching reveals their own truth. Devotion, an expression of utter trust, with no doubt, really hard. I can say to you that whenever you learn earnestly, you always have this trusting attitude. All learning from a teacher points to one reliable teaching, which the historical Shakyamuni Buddha left his people and each of us. It is this: take absolute refuge in your own self. Depend on your own self. That's the only reliable island in the stormy ocean. Existence is like a little island in the stormy ocean. You, yourself, are the island. You, yourself, island refuge. Dharma, island refuge. No other. When we spoke a few days ago about the famous Zen master Wangbo striding into the temple and barking at his students, there are no teachers of Zen. This is what he's saying, along with Kōbun. If you can trust this teacher, you can trust yourself to learn what's in this moment without creating a barrier, a defense, a wall. You can show yourself to yourself. Show yourself to the teacher. Show yourself to the Sangha. Show yourself to the world. Whoever you are in any given moment, probably not who you think you are, just who you are. Just this. The Dharma Island Refuge. The Dharma here is... Dharma has a lot of meanings, but I think in this context, we can call it reality with a big R. It's not just the teachings. Of course, the teachings are pointing to reality. But the Dharma is the law of nature to which everything has to comply. It could be called the truth, but I know that people are reactive to that. I'd like to call it reality. Dharma Island Refuge. is the Buddha's way of saying that nothing could be more secure and reliable than reality, just as it is. That seems right, right? No matter how hard you fight reality, it still wins. Life is the teacher. So this final teaching of the Buddha is how to see reality for oneself. And he tells us, no surprise, it's an inside job. The Dharma is also a name, of course, for the teachings that help us live in accordance with reality. When you live in accordance with reality as it is, it naturally happens that you become a refuge for yourself. Living accordingly with the laws of nature is how we actually can be secure and finally free. And the Buddha's way teaches to live in accordance with the laws of nature. Many of you have studied. It's a code of conduct, the precepts, all of which help us act wisely with body, speech, and mind. Doing nothing that causes harm to yourself or to others. Not doing things like stealing or lying, killing, misusing sex. When you take wholesome action from your own wisdom, from your own truth, you can create a foundation of security for yourself. You can be an island refuge. You know that you can depend upon your own power to choose wholesome action. And you can avoid the problems that arise with unwholesome action. You have to practice being really honest with yourself to do this. And it's a lifetime job. But when you do so, when you practice and practice and practice, you learn to really trust yourself. In a sea of impermanence and change, nothing to hang on to, you have yourself as an island refuge. You have the Dharma as an island refuge. In these lines on our scroll, Jiro condensed everything that the Buddha said in his last teaching. And by the way, the Buddha told his Sangha how to be a refuge. And how to be a refuge is to practice the four foundations of mindfulness that Ocean Sensei referred to. The four foundations are a way of saying stand on your own two feet, but they are actual practices. And they're set forth in the Satipatthana Sutra. And these are contemplations that ask us to look at our bodies, our feelings, our thoughts, and dhammas. In this case, dharmas are phenomenal existence. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail about these. It's another talk probably on Sunday. But I'm going to summarize them to say that even as you've been sitting, you probably noticed that your body is just a body. It's not you, because it's changing. One minute your knee hurts, the next minute it doesn't hurt. Your body is not who you are. Your body is just a body. And your feelings do the same thing. Your feelings are just feelings. They arise and they go. They can't be you unless you can define you as this, 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 which would be a fair way of saying. But there's no stable you, there's no identity in those feelings because, you know, someone could say something to me that I vehemently object to and then they could explain themselves, I completely agree. Where's the me in those feelings? I'm not my body. I'm not my feelings. I'm not my thoughts. That's the third contemplation, third foundation of mindfulness. I'm not my thoughts. Thoughts are just thoughts. You don't have to believe them. And phenomena, that means everything that we experience as stuff, just stuff. another way of talking about phenomena and Dharma is reality, as I mentioned earlier. And I like to think of it by what we can notice, like the stream, the Dharma of the stream is to be doing what it's doing right now, gurgling down. You can hear it. It's like this beautiful sound. The Dharma of the stream outside is to be wet and to do what wetness is. The Dharma of an angry person is to feel miserable and act out. The Dharma of a cat is to kill mice. The Dharma of the Eno is to keep us on the schedule. To be mindful of the Dhamma is to be mindful that we ourselves are both the cause and the solution to our problems. In other words, our suffering is ours, not just ours, but it's ours. To be mindful of the Dharma is to be aware that suffering and its solution is in this island, deep down. So you have to stay with your practice. You have to stay connected deep down. You have to trust your own experience. You have to keep going. Moment to moment to moment. The last piece on our scroll is no other. Well, when we're willing to be exposed in the golden wind, as Ocean Sensei's beautiful koan offering, when we're willing to be exposed, completely open to this right now, then we're willing to be this right now. We're willing to be what reality is right now with complete vulnerability to this moment, with a deep trust that we can meet it, sturdy little islands that we are. And part of what makes us sturdy little islands is the interconnection, no other. When we stop choosing to live out of the fear that we're alone, not being enough, needing recognition, being disconnected, we suddenly have this freedom. On the way up to Jikoji, Ocean Sensei and I were driving together, and we saw a scroll on the roadside. It was a big billboard, but I keep thinking of it as a scroll, just like Drew's scroll, this big scroll. And guess what it said? You belong. That's it. You belong. That's it. Hard stop. You belong. How could any of us be alone? How could that be? It's actually not possible. Everything we experience is in relationship, as you've heard me say many times. We are individual island emergences, but we are also islands deeply, deeply connected to the whole thing. Can you belong to everything all the while letting go, letting go, letting go who you think you are? There's nothing to hang on to. There's no one you that's sustainable, sticking around. Or if there is, it's because you're clinging to it. And that's not sustainable joy. Your path emerges from a shockingly personal experience, a surprisingly intimate sense of direction in the vast ocean, and it's coming from you. You're the island. It does not arise from being a good boy or a good girl. It does not reveal itself by acting in accordance with what you think you're supposed to be, by some other version of your life. Instead, the path arises by being awake, which is what we're trying to do in this session. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up to be open and willing to encounter and meet this ground on which you are. The ground right now, all week, but we've been doing meeting the ground. And that's what we're doing with our entire lives. Sitting here this week, little islands together, finding refuge, making refuge. We've silently entered into an agreement with ourselves, with each other, with the whole world. Trust our own experience without any conceptual imputations, assertions, Sensei said. Without any ideas about what it means. Oh, meaning. This is how it feels to trust your own life experience, all the while being open and willing to listen and to not know what's next. When we allow ourselves to release into this ocean of trust, reality as it is becomes the new ground. Reality as it is experienced through your body. This is our island refuge. Keep going.
Thank you for listening to this podcast offered by Jikoji Zen Center. Our Dharma talks are offered free of charge, and this is made possible by the donations we receive. Your support helps us to continue to offer the Dharma. For more information about Jikoji, please visit us on the web at jikoji.org.